Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Come on, give him your best. Come on, stand up and give him your best. Give him your best. If Kurt Warner walked in the room, or if Lou Brock walked in the room, or if Ozzie Smith walked in the room, you'd be giving him a standing O. Come on, this is the Creator. This is our King. He is our God. Give him your very best. Youth, I want to hear it. I want to hear it, youth. I want to hear it. Come on. Give a shout out to Christ. This is the day. Everybody say it with me. This is the day. Come on, you can do better. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And I'll be glad in it. Do you really mean that? Because if you decided to come and to allow the Spirit of God to create in you, listen to me, a new heart, He will never disappoint you. If you have something that you're asking from God today or needing from God today, or like most of us, sometimes we don't even know what we need. But if there's something there, you know you're just desperate for Him and you came and you're available to it, He will never disappoint you. I said He will never disappoint you. So give the King another great hand. I want to get into the Word as quickly as possible. Welcome to Family Day at SCRC, by the way. We have more children running around today because on Family Sunday, we love for them to be able to take communion with mom and dad and to actually experience the Sunday morning service with mom and dad. It was a great impact in my life as a child that I got to actually be in church with my parents. You know what I saw? I saw my mom and dad worship. You know what else I saw? I saw my mom and dad faithfully sacrifice in giving. I saw them tithe. I actually saw an envelope go in and Pam said, amen. I saw them actually tithe and I watched them fill it out. They never hid from me. They never hid that from me. They wanted the practice of faithfulness to God. They wanted me to know. So we are so honestly, we love having the kids in here. So there's a little bit more activity. Be good with that because we love to give to our kids the seed of faith and let them watch mom and dad worship. By the way, you know they're going to grow up doing what mom and dad does in church. So if you got a cell phone and you're doing texting in the middle of church, that's what they're going to do. Well, that's what you do till that guy gets done. Right? I mean, that we model what we do in the kingdom, in the presence of God. Well, you know, we'd sure love to get out of here in time to eat. How is he going to get us out of here? They're going to grow up going, is he going to get us out of here in time to eat? And what you talk about as far as the pastor and the staff and the worship and the whatever at lunch table, they're listening. And how about glorifying God in all conversation? You know, there are those who have gone before us, and I mean they've really gone before us. Where are you at? Michelle, grab a mic. Grab a mic real quick. There are those who have gone before us and they have sung the gospel music and they've told the old story. Remember the song, I Love to Tell the Story? The old hymn, remember that? Will be my theme in glory to tell the old story. Y'all remember that, right? Of Jesus and His love. Okay. Well, there's a couple here today. I gotta welcome them back home. Ira and Nellie are back in the building. And I don't get to do this very often, but Nellie sang in church all her life. And today, she's back from Kentucky. Give Nellie a huge hand. And we are going to sing. Y'all ready? Okay. We are going to, this girl can belt it out. This is the red mic. She's got the red mic. Michelle's got the yellow mic. We're going to do this. Okay. You ready to go? So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Yes! I knew you had it in you. I knew you had it in you. I knew you had it in you. Wait, I got to borrow this real quick. So how many of you drove 11 hours to church this morning? Bryce, I didn't say you drove your mom crazy for 11 hours. I said, how many of you drove to church 11 hours? Okay, well, I got a family that did. Would you welcome Greg, Michael, and Sheila? Greg, stand up. They drove from Roanoke, West Virginia, or Virginia. Greg has a story. Greg has a story on how he got here. Literally, he and the family drove, Sheila and Michael drove 11 hours just to come to church, and they don't know us. But I want you to share your story real quick.
That's true. We did. Last October, I was in a hotel room in San Antonio, Texas. So I travel for business regularly and a Bible study teacher. And in the process of studying, the Lord told me to go to St. Louis. Now, you have to understand that I travel all over the world for a living, and I haven't been to St. Louis for 30 years. I had no reason and no connection to come to St. Louis. I struggled with the Lord for several hours. Man, what am I going to St. Louis for? And he said, go to River Church. And I was bargaining with God. I told him, I was bargaining with God, and I said, if I go and Google River Church in St. Louis and it comes up, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. And it did.
I'm just saying there's a God in the house.
And so here we are. So it took 11 months for me to be obedient, and prayer partner friends of ours said, God said, don't wait to be till it's convenient. So we packed up and came. We don't know why we're here. We've been listening to the podcasts and getting to know you guys without being here. And we're here.
Amen. Welcome. Welcome, buddy. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you are here. Let me tell you, when God sends you, there's a spot that you come to in life where God actually speaks into you something amazing. And I know it's for each of us, that place in life is different where on this one particular day in this one particular hotel room or this one particular morning as you're going through the study in the Word or whatever that is. Mine is usually in traffic headed to a hospital, and it's always in rush hour. And God speaks something real to me. I mean, he makes it clear to me. What he's telling me. There was a guy just like Greg in the Word. The story is found in the book of Luke, and I think most of you know him as Zacchaeus. There was a place where he took a journey, and it was up a tree to get a good view. I want you to just jump into the 19th chapter with me. Here we go, because I want to talk to you about clearing the pathway to Jesus. And by the way, I will also tell you there's such a thing as no matter what it takes. You run after God. Even if it's 11 hours to church, you run after what God tells you to do. You run after what God tells you to do. By the way, I want to tell all of the pastoral staff, if you don't know, since 2011 when I was in Belfast, I'll tell you this quickly, when I was in Belfast, God spoke to me. You go back to St. Louis, go back to the United States. I was at the Europa Hotel. Speaking of God speaking to you at a hotel. You know the Europa in Belfast. I was there at a Convoy of Hope conference and on the fourth night, they had invited Gina and I to join their team. And I was praying about whether or not this is the will of God. And I was supposed to give Michael McNamee an answer as to whether we were joining their team. It was not requiring us to leave St. Louis, but it was a sincere invitation to join Convoy of Hope Europe team. He was hoping we would. I got down to the breakfast area at 6 in the morning. I said, Michael, this is what God spoke to me last night in my hotel room. Gina was 6 hours back in St. Louis, and when I called her to confirm what I had heard from the Holy Spirit, she said, I'm so glad that's what you heard, because I heard exactly the same thing. God said, you go back to St. Louis where I told you to be, and you focus on the ministries of outreach there, There's no doubt. There's going into all the world. We're going to continue to do that. We are going to continue to do that because it's a command, not an option, but to go into all the world. But he said, go there and raise up a leadership. Go there and raise up a leadership. Since that day, we don't bring pastors in. We don't just bring pastors in. We don't bring the professionals. I have to detox them from Bible college. Y'all know what I mean? I have to detox. Shelley really knows what I mean. I have to detox them from Bible college. So we just ask God, raise up within us the next pastors and the next leadership at St. Charles River Church. And since 2011, there have been 11 pastors raised up here at St. Charles River Church, 3 church plants that were launched out of St. Charles River Church. And yeah, praise God. And more to come. And more to come. Because we believe the churches ought to be reproductive of themselves. If believers should be reproductive, if moms and dads should be reproductive, a healthy organism will always reproduce itself. And so we believe that and we live that out here. But 11 pastors have gone through the Assemblies of God courses, and I would say this to every one of you that are taking the course Mike was referring to about how to preach. This was Rex's, my mentor, this was his advice to me. As soon as you pass the test, throw away the book. Because it should be an authentic move of the Holy Spirit within you, not what the Assemblies of God say your sermon should look like. Forget the idea of sermon. I don't do sermons. We have a message from the Lord. It's seriously, it's a Jonah thing. I have a message from the Lord. If you don't look at it like that, don't do this, because you have a message from the Lord. And today I have a message for you from the Lord. And it starts with this story about this little guy, this little short guy. I love little short guys, by the way. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man who was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. By the way, for those of you who saw Brian Houston this morning, this message was in place long before he spoke. Just want you to know. I love those people who say, I think he saw that on Brian Houston this morning. No, he borrowed my message. I got news. I had this set in order a long time ago. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. You know why he was wealthy? Because he was also a tax cheat. Because he cheated. That's called the IRS of the day. It's not the friendliest sort. And he was a cheat. He was a scoundrel. He was everything you wouldn't want your son to grow up to be like. He was Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And he kept a portion of it. He admits it later in the story. He says he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Let me read it again. He wanted to see who Jesus was. You see, at some point, even for that individual, the Holy Spirit will draw him to some level of curiosity, whether it is voyeurism, I don't have a clue. It's whether it was healthy or an unhealthy, I don't have a clue. But God's Word says he wanted to see who Jesus was. Can I contend today? There are many today outside of these four walls that really want to see the real Jesus and find out exactly who he is. But listen to the rest of this story. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now, I've shared this with you about a year and a half ago, just a few things I'm going to say to you. But I really felt after that, remember the message that I brought to you 2 weeks ago about the eclipse. We do charades here at St. Charles River Church. And remember how I said we eclipse Jesus so often. Do you know that the moon, listen to this, the sun is actually 416 times larger, 416 times. I read, it went, and I Googled, I'm not that smart. I Googled. And most of the Googles I went through, most all said the same thing, between 400 and 416 times larger than the moon. You could put 72 million moons inside the sun, a perspective. And yet, it blocked it completely. It blocked it, other than the fire ring outside. You literally could, with your naked eye, look at it. 72 million moons. How does it block it? Well, you see, it gets in the way. And it gets really close. It gets really uncomfortably close. And this is what was taking place with the crowd that day. You see, Zacchaeus was short. He had enough of an issue. But what was taking place was people were getting in the way. Who was getting in the way? Christ followers. Do you know those that get in the way most are oftentimes those who claim to be the Christ followers? And we can't get past their issues. And they get real big and uncomfortably close. And I can't see Jesus because you're crowding me here. And it's getting uncomfortable. I'm supposed to be able to see the Master, but I can't because you're crowding me with this non-Jesus stuff in the name of Jesus. We throw legalisms out there. You know, you drink. You know, you can't. I heard a pastor one time, my own pastor, say, it's funny. I was sitting on the platform. I was the associate pastor. And he made a blanket statement. Just a blanket statement. The youth pastor was sitting right behind me. This was not this church. He made the statement, you can't drink and have beer. You can't have a beer and pizza on Saturday night and be a Christian on Sunday morning. And the youth pastor sincerely looked up. He said, what's wrong with pizza? What's wrong with pizza? I said, shut up and sit back. Don't ask me stuff like that. We make blanket statements because anyone who drinks is going to go to hell. I mean, we make blankets. We smother people with our Assemblies of God-isms or our Pentecostalisms or my own problem. It's my problem. I had a drinking problem, and not me. I literally did not. I never drank. But because I'm uncomfortable with something, we make sure it's the cause we fly. It's not just drinking. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a lot of other things. You know what, Mike? I don't like how you wear your hair. Do you know? I was banned. Huh?
It's going away.
So. No, it'll be all right. I was an Assemblies of God kid all my life, and I was banned from camp because my hair was too long. You remember? Shelley, you and I was the Southern Missouri District, right? Mecca camp. No, seriously. I was told I couldn't be there. And then when I went there, I was actually a pastor. The first time I ever set foot on the Assemblies of God campground, I was a pastor of this church. And I went there, and I went down, you're going to know where I violated here in a minute. So I wanted to take some pictures to send them back to you parents. And I ran down, I was taking pictures. The girls were swimming. It was so cute. They're throwing water all over the lake, and all these ladies are wrapping up with the towels, and I'm like, have you never been to a public swimming pool or something? You know, I didn't get it. All of a sudden, I heard this voice. I recognized the voice. It was a relative of mine, and she said, Barry Ivy, what are you doing in the girls' fishing hole? I said, what's a girls' fishing hole? It's the lake. I'm their pastor. I'm taking pictures to send back to their parents to let them know they didn't drown. Get out of the girls' fishing hole. I said, you're serious? I'm serious. Get out of here. Oh, then she stops everybody. She has everybody turn around because the boys are coming through to the boys' fishing hole. And the boys, these are skinny, railed boys. You ever seen what a fifth and third grade boy looks like? They ain't a chest for anything. They don't have a chest. And all of a sudden these kids, they got their towels around their chest and they're walking by, you know, and the girls are like got their back to the boys, and they're all these girls are deep in conviction because they can't look at these skinny railed boys as they go by. Anybody getting the picture? Now this is, so when I get, finally she kicks me out of the area. I go into chapel that night. And I'm standing there watching the pre-service video playing in the big screens of the, what's that thing called? The tabernacle. And so I'm watching it, and there's the girl swimming in the fishing hole on the video. And then the boys rolling around swimming in their fishing hole, you know, on the video. So I called my relative over. I said, I want to know something. Why is it okay to play porn in the tabernacle? Why have you got porn playing in the tabernacle? She said, what are you talking about? I said, if it's a sin out there, it's a sin in here. If it's voyeurism out there, it's voyeurism in here. And that's what's confusing to kids. Does anybody else get that? Greg, that's why we started on Anheuser-Busch property. So the Assemblies of God would not know what I was teaching. Zacchaeus couldn't see because of the followers of Christ. I want to be the tree that he climbs, don't you? Don't you want to be the one who gives him the hike up the tree so that person can see who the real Jesus is? Yeah. And when he gets up there, Jesus, the Bible says, God's word, read the story, it says, and when Jesus got to the spot, there's a spot where you will meet the real Jesus. When somebody, and by the way, he had to give himself his own height. I don't know that nobody helped him. We don't know the whole story. Maybe we do know the whole story. But he got up that tree because he wanted to see who the real Jesus was. When he got a hold of the real Jesus, he came, he hears this voice, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house for dinner. And I'm gonna dine with you. Boy, that little guy scurried down that tree. When you see the real Jesus, nothing's gonna stop you from getting to him. The problem is, guys, go back 2 weeks ago, we keep eclipsing Jesus. We offend other believers because we want it done our way. We demand that they do it our way or say it our way. And we get critical when we go into other churches. Don't ever do that. If you go visit somebody's church, I don't care if they're Roman Catholic, I don't care if they're Lutheran, Methodist, honor the fact that they're serving Jesus Christ out of the deep conviction of their heart. Do you think everybody in here has an intimate walk with God every Sunday, every day of the week? I believe that wherever there's a church gathered, there is failure and fault. And in other words, we're right where we belong. When somebody said to me one time, I just think there's a, and I mean, they, when I tell you this, somebody told me one time, this is not rhetorical. This is true. I've heard it many times. I don't go to church because of the hypocrites. And I go, but that's right where we should be. It's coming into this corporate presence of God right where we should be. I mean, we don't deserve His mercy and His grace. We don't deserve it. It's totally unmerited favor. And yet He keeps calling me back in to worship Him with you guys and with all of our faults and failures. How do I know that? Well, Zacchaeus says, Lord, let me read it to you. He says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Jesus knew who he was. If Jesus knew, remember the woman washing his feet with the alabaster jars? If Jesus knew who he was, she was. He sure did know who he was. He knows me too. I want to tell you something. If you're ever looking for reasons to disqualify me as your pastor, they're already there. If we're looking for reasons to disqualify someone else from coming in, how does he go to church? I actually had a lady come to me in church in here one time. She's not here anymore, but she came in and she saw one of us in this room. She says, I see him out. I know what he does. I'll say, that's awesome. But he's here. He didn't quit. He's still running on the faith journey. He's still here. So you're mad he's here? Let me get this straight. You're mad he's here? You're actually disgusted that he's here? You are too. Does anybody else get that? I mean, I am too. I'm here. And if you need reasons to disqualify a guy, y'all figure out someday you got a hairstylist as a pastor. That's all I'm really qualified to do. You leave. You just leave. Some of you look at me. No wonder the hair. I had the hair long before I was ever teaching. That's why can I tell you a real quick story? I know it's noon, but I'm going to tell you a real quick story of my own failure. I'm not proud of this. In fact, I'm very saddened by this. It's true. In my first 3 years, after I left the Southern Gospel group that I sang with for 13 years, God spoke to me that I was to go into ministry. I went out as an evangelist. I was on the road 3 years till I found out I wasn't an evangelist. That's true. I called Gina one night, I think it was Tampa Bay, Florida. I said, I'm coming home. I'm not an evangelist. Because I want to be with people. I want to see them. I want to build relationship with them. I want to do life with them. I want to do life with their families and with their children and their grandchildren. I want to do life. I want to pastor because that's what I believe God's called me to do. But for 3 years I did that. And in my learning how, you know what those classes will do? Those classes sometimes will mess you up so bad. Those Bible classes of the Assemblies of God. I, by the way, I believe in taking the courses. Let me just say that. If this is all being recorded, let me just say, I believe in all of the courses because I believe you need the education side of it. But the application side better be done authentically by the Holy Spirit. Because I don't care if you got point one or point two or point three or point four, when the Holy Spirit's done, quit and let Him work. But I was in the Boot Heel in Missouri, and I was doing I was preaching at a church, teaching at a church down, and I had already sung, I did my music, and I was preaching, you know, I thought I was anyway. A woman walked up to me after church and said, if he'd just rear back and let her go, he'd be a good preacher. And the husband walked by and said, he thought he was rearing back. I'm just saying, you know, you're learning what to do and what not to do in moments like that. And during the quote-unquote altar call, this was a moment I so deeply regret. But I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, I so eclipsed Jesus in an altar service. Everybody came forward. I mean, everybody came forward. It was a packed, full altar. And there was this little girl, about a 14-year-old little girl, that walked forward, and she was as stiff as she could be. She was so hard. She didn't want to be there. She came up out of peer pressure, out of the youth group. You know, they all got up there, and I was literally praying with them, and the pastor, I know his name, I won't mention it, was praying alongside of me. We were praying across the front, and this one little girl stood there and just got stiff, and she looked me right in the eyes, and she just dead-eyed me. She dead-eyed me. And I had the opportunity. I was young in ministry. I was in my 30s. I was young in ministry. I had just really started this type of thing, and I was learning. And I remember, and I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I want you to know I'm speaking to myself this morning as much as I am you. I looked at this little girl, and I leaned over. I didn't have this kind of a mic on. I pulled the mic down, and I leaned into this little girl's ear, and I said, when are you going to stop being so stubborn and give it to Jesus? Now, some of you might say, well, those are powerful words. Maybe she needed to hear that. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I know this. The Holy Spirit convicted me so deeply that I left that service broken because I went into bury. You understand that? You see, I demanded it to be done my way. I couldn't trust the Holy Spirit to do it His way. I didn't know what He was doing in her heart. I didn't have a clue what He was doing in her spirit. I didn't have a clue. But it didn't look like I wanted it to look. That night, it was well over 25 years ago, I think, at least. I didn't want it. It wasn't looking the way. She wasn't responding the way I wanted her to respond. And so I rebuked her. And I saw that little girl after I moved on down. I saw that little girl walk straight out the back door. And I've never seen that little girl since. And I can't tell you how many times I have repented before God and asked Him that He would send someone in that little girl's life that could redeem the impression of who Jesus really was. Bow your heads with me for just a second. Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. The Zacchaeuses of this world need to see who Jesus really is. And by the way, Lord, we know the story when he did see who You really were. He gave half His possessions immediately to the poor because He knew He didn't earn them honestly. And immediately there was a transformation of His spirit, and He began, and He said, if I've cheated anyone, I'll give it back four times I cheated them. Lord, immediate transformation, because the real Jesus actually makes a difference. And today I'm asking You, Father, in the name of Jesus, that You will so transform our lives and give us the opportunity to clear the path to Christ, not clutter the path to Christ, not clutter it with our arguments of doctrine and arguments of impression of what holiness is versus what holiness isn't, but rather, as Pastor Mike said a while ago, just bring Jesus to people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Every believer said, amen. God bless you guys. Pastor Mike, give the Lord a huge hand, guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.